instead of doing things because God was leading or he was in prayer, he would do things and just go with it. And I walked away saying, that's so sad. And I thought about it and I said, what about me? What about my life? Why do I do what I do? And I can definitely figure out that, you know, sometimes I fall into the category of Samson in my life. And I got to do a reality check. And what's my life really about? What's really the point and the purpose? And I think all of us could do that. I don't know if you've ever read about Samson, but he actually married he desired to marry a Philistine lady, and he was supposed to marry from the tribe of Israel, and he didn't marry from the Israelites, and he ended up, his father-in-law ended up giving his wife to a friend of his, and he got furious, he lit a bunch of fox tails on fire, caught 300 foxes, lit them on fire, and sent them through the wheat bales, and they burned them all up. And then, yeah, this sounds crazy. Come on, Cole, this has got to be a joke. What are you talking about? But, and then he gets angry again, and he grabs a donkey's skull and wipes out 1,000 Philistines. And you may say, doesn't even sound real to me. Well, it doesn't stop there, because then Samson goes in. Before what Josephine read there, we discover that Samson actually got together with a prostitute. And it doesn't even say that he married Delilah. So I thought about it, I said, Delilah, he's with Delilah, that's his wife now. And then I said, no, it's not. This guy, what is this guy doing, right? He prays to God twice. God answers his prayer two times. He prays for water once, and then he prays to let him die and wipe out all the Philistines because of his God dies, right? What kind of life is this, right? What is he living? I think we need to ask ourselves that question too. And in the context of relationships, I want us to think about this. All of us have probably been fishing, or we've seen someone go fishing with a rail. And as you cast it out, you have bait on the end of that hook. And the reason why you put the bait on the end of the hook is because you want a fish to come and take a nibble at the bait, right? And when you feel the nibble, you pull a little bit, and you're hoping that the fish gets hooked, right? You want that fish to get hooked, and the mouth to get hooked onto that line, because then you can reel it in, right? And you catch that fish. I want to say that Delilah realized that she had amazing bait, and her bait was her beauty. And she reeled Samson in. She pulled him in, and she kept reeling him in, and she reeled him in to the point. Samson kind of wanted to live on the edge of sin. Like, he was like, well, I'm in this relationship, that's good enough. But he didn't realize how deep he was falling into the context of sin and what that actually would look like in his life and how it would bring his downfall. Yet the blame is not on Delilah. The blame is on Samson not following after the God that he was supposed to be following after. And many of us men in this place, we have not been following after the God we're supposed to be following in the context of our relationship with those people that are important in our lives. Whether you're married, or whether you have children, or whatever it may be, wherever you find yourself in your life, as a man, we need to step up and be leaders. Women, we are not to be manipulated. I'm saying we, I'm not a lady. But manipulation is not supposed to be a part of a relationship. Same with guys, right? Yet in the context of this relationship, we find all sorts of whacked out things happening in many relationships in the Bible. I want to share a few explanations of what love is. I want to share three Hebrew words, and then I'm going to share four Greek words, because the Bible, if you know this or not, is written in Hebrew and in Greek, and a small portion of Daniel is written in Aramaic. So I want to share three Hebrew words. The first one is raya, and raya is a friendship type of love, and to have compassion. It's this friendship and having compassion. And then we have ahava, and it's a committed love. this word dode. And this word is a physical or sexual love, to carouse, to rock, to fondle. It's this word that we find used in the book of Song of Songs and in other passages in the scripture when it's talking about this love between lovers. And in the Greek, we find four words. The first is agape. And agape is an unconditional love. It's an ideal type of love, a godly, supernatural love that we can actually display and be a part of in our lives because God's supernatural power falls upon us. Then there's eros. Eros is a physical attraction, a erotic kind of love. And then we have philios. Philios is a love between friends. It comes from Philadelphia. Philio, friend, brotherly love. Storge is a natural affection. It's like parents toward offspring. It's this great love towards someone in your family, a sibling or someone that you really care about in a relationship. So what do we learn about the love between Delilah and Samson? There's some things we can really take away and actually implement them in the context of our marital relationship or the relationship that we're desiring to have with that special somebody, or even in the context of a relationship with people in our lives. And wherever you find yourself in your life, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you are a sibling to somebody, wherever you are in your life, I really think that these points will stick. If they stick with us and we understand them, I mean, you know, incorporate them in our lives, then we're going to be able to move progressively forward and live the life of love that God desires us to live. The first thing we discover is temptations can terminate love. You heard that? Temptations can terminate love. Judges 16:5. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we can tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." The Philistine leaders were determined to find out the strength of Samson because Samson had done so many incredible things with his strength that they wanted to figure it out so they could either utilize it for their purposes or just get rid of him altogether. But instead of threatening this woman Delilah, they bribe her. And they use that greed that we have as people, that what I can get out of my relationship, what I can get out of it, what can I get? What is it I can get? And they use that, and they promise Delilah a fortune, 5,500 shekels of silver. That's more than 140 pounds of silver. That's a lot of silver. And that's what they promised her. No wonder Delilah didn't give in until she got her answer, right? She's like, "I want that silver, because I'll be rich." Right? And it was all about the money. It was all about the money. It was all about what she could get out of that relationship. But if any of you are in a relationship or have been in a relationship, you know that if you have a healthy relationship, it's not about what we can get. It's about what we can give. Right? And that's a hard thing for most of us humans because so often in the context of a relationship, it's what can I get out of this relationship? What does this look like? What is going to enable me to move forward so I can be better for my own selfish purposes? Without us even knowing it, we get to that point. The second thing we discover about their relationship is deception. Deception destroys love. Samson deceived his, I don't know what to call her, I can't say wife, his girlfriend, his lover, I don't know, his lady friend, 3 times. In 16, 7, 11, and 13, we discover this deception happens, and Samson is deceiving her, and he just has to keep deceiving her because, like, I'm not going to tell her the secret of my strength. Why would I ever do that? That doesn't even make sense. I don't really trust her. The third thing we discover, nagging nullifies love. Did you notice she started nagging? "Oh, but Samson, I can't believe should love me so I could know what I need to know so I can know it. What? And he's like, no, you don't love me. No more for you, right? Right? I'm gonna leave you alone then, and you can think about that. And when you think you actually love me, you can tell me what I need to know, because I need to know what I need to know, because it's all about me. Without her saying that, right? And nag, 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 nag. Does nagging ever work? In this case, yes, it did. Well, let me tell you. Most of us guys have this black hole, this great abyss that we enter into when nagging begins. Oh, I can't hear anything. Did someone say something? What? What? Don't you ever listen to me? Don't you ever listen? I said it 15 times. Take the stinking trash out. All I heard was, right? But in reality, maybe we heard it, but we heard it so many times that we just hit the shut off switch. Huh? Like, someone could be speaking right in front of us. Da, 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 da. And maybe you have a son or a husband or whatever, but we have this great ability, us men. Ba-ding! And then we're watching a football game or whatever it may be, and we can't hear anything. We're out of tune with the reality of whatever's being said. It's kind of pathetic, isn't it, ladies? No? Thank you. Gives us permission to continue. But when we shut off, there's usually a reason. And then when nagging continues, there's usually a reason for that too, right? Men are different from ladies. And sometimes we don't like to embrace that in our society. But it's true. Nagging satisfies love. Let's read Judges 16, 15 through 16 again. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made a fool of me and haven't told me the secret of your great strength." With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was so tired to death. Right? He was like, "Oh, fine, lady. Here, I'm going to tell you. This is the story. I'm going to give it to you. When the 7 braids on my head are cut off and my head is shaved, then I lose my strength. Wouldn't you think that Samson would have come to a place where he had his head wrapped up and all these strings tied around him and all the rope wrapped around him, that he would say, 'This lady's out to get me. What is she doing?'" But he's like, maybe it was a pride thing. Because us guys have a lot of pride sometimes. And maybe it's a pride thing. He's like, "No one's ever going to get to me. And I really think she's pretty attractive, so I'm going to stay with this lady. I don't even care. You know, I had the Philistine lady, and she was a mess, and that relationship was all messed up. Then I went after this prostitute, and that was a real mess, because I almost got killed, and I ran away and got away that night after I used my strength again to get out of that situation. And then I find myself with this lady, Delilah. And man, my relationships really are crazy. But I find myself in this situation again. And you know what? Maybe if I tell her, maybe then she'll trust me and we can have a relationship and I won't have to listen to the nagging anymore. And maybe then I'll actually have a real relationship that really matters, that really has impact, and that really helps me move forward in my life. Maybe then. But then, Samson and Delilah both discover that lies destroy lives. In the context of relationship, lies destroy lives. Let's read Judges 16, 28 through 30. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines. Then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other. Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. What a tragic life. Samson, he lost sight of what was most important: relationship with God and relationship with people. Samson's life was all about him and what he could get out of his life. The relationships that he had were about what they could get or what he could get. And there was this big battle that went on in all of their relationships. Most of the time it was about him and what he could get. In this Delilah situation, it was about what she could get and what he could get. And it was never about this beautiful relationship where the two come together, and it says in the scriptures, two become one flesh. There was this major distortion because Samson was in relationship out of the beautiful context in which God created us to be in. The beautiful marital relationship. The husband and the wife and the two becoming one flesh. Do you see, the sexual act is so much more than just sex. The sexual act is two becoming one flesh, coming together and becoming one. And many of us have distorted that, or maybe it's been distorted, and we've seen the distortion of it, and we've never really seen a great, beautiful marital relationship. And we don't even know what it looks like, and we don't know how to live that way. And maybe there's obstacles and challenges in that marital relationship that we can't grasp. But I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that God restores people. God restores us. He is a God of restoration and a God of transformation. Did you notice that Samson thought his strength came from his hair? Did you notice that? He thought his strength came from his hair. He said, "When you cut my hair off, then I lose my strength." No, it's when the Spirit leaves him that he loses his strength. It's when God departs from him that he loses his strength, because he thought his power was from his hair. But his power was from God. His power and his strength and his ability and everything that he had was from God and not from his locks. He was theologically mistaken. How about this? "Oh, sovereign Lord, remember me?" Because he never really called out to God, did he? He never really called out to God. And he never said, "God, here I am again. It's me, Samson." And he didn't do it on a daily basis. There's nothing in the scriptures that tell us that. There's only two spots, like I said, that he called out to God in prayer. He just needed to seek God for his restoration. That's all he needed to do. He needed to seek God for restoration. And this God has a love that is so much more profound than anything we can comprehend. And the God that I'm talking about, he is Jehovah, the self-existent one. He is Elohim, the true God. He is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. He is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. Jehovah Tesid Kinnu. The Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord that heals. Let me back up and tell you that the Father is seated high upon the throne, yet he looks low and he sees low and he knows everything about you and about me. And he still loves us. Jesus, the Son, the true one who went to Calvary and died for me and died for He talks with us, and he knows us, and he comforts us, and he leads us to illuminate our minds to understand the scriptures and understand this spiritual journey that seems so difficult and such a challenge and so many obstacles. Yet this God that we are talking about today is a God that transforms, a God that releases us from bondage and sets captives free. 1 Peter 5:10 through 11. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we come to you this morning just thanking you so much for this opportunity to gather here. Lord, so many of us have had dysfunctional relationships, and some of us are still in them. And Lord, we are in great need of restoration. We are in great need of hope. We are in great need of transformation. And Father, I just ask, O Lord, that you will restore us, you will renew us, you will revitalize us, you will allow us to discover you in the midst of the difficult times. God, pour out your Spirit upon us. Pour out your love upon us. God, allow us to discover your agape love, your unconditional love, your supernatural love. Lord, allow the love that